Amen. Psalm 63 in your Bibles tonight. I love the words of that song. I believe as Christians we should take time to think about where we've been brought from, what God has done for us, to remind ourselves of who He is and what He's done for us, and His Spirit living within us, allowing us to serve Him in the ways that we do. It's something that so many times we take for granted and so many times overlook. And when we truly take a moment to think about what we've been saved from, what we deserve, what we have because of Christ, it's pretty easy to serve Him. It's pretty easy to testify and tell others about what He has done for us. What an awesome thought. Psalm 63 together tonight, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth Thee. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Tonight I just want to talk to you for a few moments on seeking God. Seeking God. Let's pray. Lord, I love You. God, I thank You for the day You've given us. Lord, I thank You for Your word. God, I thank You, Lord, for the privileges to be in church tonight. And God, I pray, God, that as we're here together tonight, God, that You would, Lord, clear our minds and our thoughts, Lord, from the distractions, Lord, that no doubt the devil wants us to have in our minds tonight. God, that we would look to You, look to Your word for help. And God, that we would be reminded, Lord, encouraged, Lord, prodded in some areas, God, that can help us better our walk with You and our relationship with You. Lord, I pray that You be with me. Lord, help me just to be, Lord, Your vessel tonight, saying only what You have me to say. I ask this in Your name. Amen. On the topic of Valentine's Day, I was reading some things and found this note that a girl who regretted breaking her engagement off with her fiancé wrote to him, trying to win him back. And she said, Dearest Tommy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on that surprise inheritance you just received. And hopefully, Tommy saw right through that one. Reading that and seeing that reminded me of the early days in my relationship with my wife. And I know she loves it when I talk about her in this way. She actually asked me to do it tonight, so I had to work it in somehow. So, but I remember those early days in that relationship. And this past Valentine's Day was actually our 14th Valentine's Day together. It makes me feel very old thinking about that. And you know, I love my wife more now than I've ever loved her. But as I look back on those early days, you know that obsession you have with that newfound love and that person. And you can probably think of those times with me in your own relationship, and many times just seeing her walk towards me as we were about to have some time together would just make my heart beat real fast, and the butterflies were there, and it sometimes was more than I could handle. I just wanted the whole world to know how much I loved that girl. I couldn't help but talk about her, write letters to her, text her, racking up my dad's bill and getting cut off from the family. I remember that very well. You know, the more I knew about her, the more I wanted to seek her and have fellowship with her. I needed her in my life, and because of that, I sought after her as much as I could. You know, there's many of you here tonight, as I've already said, that could think on your own relationships that in very similar circumstances to what I described tonight. But no matter what kind of earthly relationship you may have tonight, can I remind you that regardless of those relationships, you have an amazing God that desires to have a relationship with you. Amen. And if you have a true relationship with God, and if you are aware of who He is, what He has done, what He wants to do for you, His desire to fellowship with you, it will bring you to seek Him, to know Him, to talk about Him. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." In an early psalm, Psalm 16, David said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy." We know that a true relationship with God will bring that joy. A true relationship with God will bring this peace that is indescribable, a joy that is unspeakable. It's hard to put words to that relationship with God and the benefits of it. But we know that a true relationship with God has all those, as many benefits for us. You know, when we truly know God and have a relationship with Him, our hearts should overflow with those feelings of joy. There is fulfillment in a true relationship with Christ. You know, we live in a world where we feel a lot of stress. We are a very pressured society. There's many problems in lives here tonight. There's drama in your life, or there's things that are going on at work, things that are going on with your family. You can think of some pressure that you may feel from society, or pressure you may feel from the workforce, pressure you may feel at school, and we have this very pressured, stressful society, and if we're not careful, we can allow the pressure that we feel in our hearts and in the world that we live in, we can allow that pressure to set direction for our life instead of allowing our relationship with God to set that direction for our life. So I want to ask you tonight, I want to ask myself, I would ask that you would look in your own heart, are we growing closer to the One who brings true joy, or are we drifting away from Him following those other things in life? Are we seeking God in our life? We know this was a psalm of David. David was a king, he was a leader of an army, he had family problems, and in the midst of all that, he kept his relationship with God a priority. You look here in your Bible, it's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. There's a description there in your Bible somewhat similar to that. And the psalm was written in much discomfort in David's life. David was fleeing for his life. His son Absalom attacked Jerusalem, and because of that, he took his family, his wives, and he escaped there to the wilderness and was hiding there in the wilderness, camping, just waiting for things to blow over. He had a desire to seek God first in that moment. Why did he do that? Why was God such a priority? He had a personal relationship with God. We looked there in verse 1, it says, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." David spent time with God. The only way as a young man for me to develop a relationship with my wife was to spend time with her, to talk to her, to listen to her, to walk together as we did there at Bible college, time sitting, talking, writing. You know, to have a relationship, those things are necessary. You know, there's another approach I could have taken in that relationship. I could have decided just to, as was really more my tendency because I was nervous talking to her, but I could have decided to just sit back and watch for years. I could have gone to people that knew her and asked questions. I could have a list of questions in a notebook and just quiz those people so I could know more about this girl. I could have broken into the admissions department there at Bible college and read her file. Could have found out her birthday is October 19th and she has her parents that she grew up with, and she has two younger siblings, and I found out all this information and I know everything about her, but that probably wouldn't have ended well for me. You know, the only thing I would have received from that would be a restraining order, most likely. And there would most likely be no relationship to speak of today. Do you have a personal relationship with God, or do you just have a knowledge of God? Are we acquainted with Him? Are we close to Him? You know, David knew God. And it was his desire to seek Him early. Why did David seek God? Why was there such a need in his life to seek after the God he was seeking after? There's so many reasons in the Word of God that we could find, but there's a decent list you can put together from this chapter. The first thing, he sought after him because God was his God. Look there in verse 1. He says, O God, thou art my God. We spoke, he has a personal relationship with God, and he knew that God was not just God. God was his God. And he had a desire to fellowship with the God who loved him, with the God who had taken care of him this far. He had a relationship with God. He was his God. Psalm 95 is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. It's one I reference and look at a lot. And there's a verse in Psalm 95 that says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. I'm his, he's mine. He was his God. We are his people. You know, why should we want that? Because God wants that. Why should we love him? We love him because he first loved us. We have much reason to have that relationship. We have much reason to call him our God. I've loved that series in Genesis that we've been spending so much time on, looking there mostly at the life of Abraham lately. And we look at Abraham and the promises that he received. God told him he was going to be father of many, and we see provision after provision, and we see God continuing to bless even when Abraham made those mistakes. We see Abraham very clearly understanding that God was his God and that the descendants that would come from him were his chosen people. We have that same relationship with God tonight. He's our God. Second thing that we find here, he had seen and experienced the power and glory of God. Not only was God his God, he had seen and experienced the power and glory of God. Look at verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David had already seen the glory of God in nature, and he spoke, the heavens declare the glory of God, and talked about the skies proclaiming the glory of it. And David knew the glory of God. He had seen it firsthand. He had seen God working in his day-to-day life. And we can think of David in his time in the tabernacle. There was no doubt times that he had seen and experienced the glory of God. He's possibly including the divine presence of God, which he had felt in services in his own heart. And we too can look in our life and think of times that God has worked in our heart. We could look at our experiences and see how God changed someone from being something completely different than what they are now. We've seen the work of God in our life and the lives of others. We witnessed the work of God in the Bible. We can think about different services that we've attended and how God worked, and you could sense his presence in those moments. David's mentioning here, I've seen your power. I've witnessed your glory, and because of that, he wanted to seek him. He wanted to seek him because God was his God, because he had experienced the power of God, but he also wanted to seek him because he had experienced the unfailing love of God. Look there in verse 3. It says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. The love of people so many times is fickle and conditional, but God's love is unconditional. It is unfailing. It is unwavering. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God loves us. And as David is describing the love of God, what does he say? He said, it is better than life. I like life. I'm glad I'm living. And David is describing the love of God to be better than the life that he's been given. No doubt we look at David and his possessions and the life that he had, all the things God had blessed him with, all the things God had delivered him from, all the riches that he had there as king. But David said the love of God was better than life. Better than anything he ever had. You know, during the course of David's life, we see he was a man after God's own heart, but he was also a man that failed God. He was a man that committed a great sin against God, but he knew that God's love was greater. You know, God loves us no matter what we've done. God loves you no matter what, where you've come from. He loves you no matter how you may feel or how the devil may allow you to, may tempt you to feel. God still loves you. It is unfailing, unconditional. What a great reminder is to know that God knew everything you'd ever do. He knew everything the world would ever do, but with the knowledge of that, he still chose to die for us because he loves us. And because of that, David wanted to seek him, and we should too. He wanted to seek God because he had experienced the unfailing love of God. He wanted to seek God because God had helped him in the past and was still going to help. Look at verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. God has been his help. I love that beautiful picture that's painted there at the end of verse 8. Thy right hand upholdeth me. As I'm looking at that, I could only think about my relationship with my children. You can think of many different times that your kids have been nervous. I'm thinking of times that my kids have been nervous and unsure of certain things. And what many times is the first thing they go to do? They want to grab the hand of their mom or dad. Think of times they've been afraid to walk across something or to approach something. And for one of those things, many times, even as much as my kids love animals, they're afraid of bigger dogs. And they want to hold my hand to make sure. And I'll place their hand on the dog and have them pet it. And once my hand is holding theirs, everything is okay. David said, thy right hand upholdeth me. David could think of times in his life where he didn't have the strength or courage to do something on his own, but he felt the hand of God holding him up. Amen. And that same hand is there for you. Right. Knowing that God wants to help us in our trials, wants to help us in our troubles, wants to help us in those times that we're afraid, his right hand is there. David wanted to seek God because of that. We can look at David's life by the Spirit of God. David was able to slay Goliath. David, as a young shepherd, was able to kill the lion and the bear by the help and power of God. He became a king. And in all those times where he felt incapable, and all those times where he and his flesh would analyze the situation and see there was no possible way in the human mind this could be done, God's right hand was there to help him. And he wanted to seek him for that. He wanted to seek him because he was his help, but also because he knew that God had in the past and in the future would deliver him from his enemies. Look down verse 9, it says, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes, but the king shall rejoice in God. He knew that God had delivered him and would continue to deliver him. David lived to see the defeat of many enemies. In this case, as we're looking at the story, we know that eventually David's son Absalom, as painful as it was, he would be saved from the attacks of his son. Absalom would be killed. David knew that God would take care of it. You know, David was a warrior. In this passage, we do not find David telling God what he wants to do. We don't find David telling God how he thinks he wants to handle the situation, but we find David submitting himself to God and his almighty power. David could have tried to take these things into his own hand, but David knew that God was enough and God would help him. So he wanted to seek him. And the last thing we find here, he knew that God was enough. He knew God was enough. Look there at verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. David tells God, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. He's basically saying, you satisfy me more than the greatest feast I could ever have. We know what a great meal does for the individual. I appreciate those very much. But David was saying, as much as I could ever be satisfied from food, from a feast, you are greater. you're enough. Say, God, I'm satisfied with you. You are all I need. Are you satisfied with God tonight? When I just asked that question, in your heart, you may have thought no. You may have gone to some things that there may be some bitterness in your heart about, or some things that have been unanswered, or some things that have been tough in your life, and you're looking at the situations feeling no. It hasn't been enough. If your answer was no, I want to tell you tonight, it's not because of God. We have promises in the Word of God that He is all we need. I love the old hymn. We don't sing it much here at the church, but it's called All I Need. It says, Jesus Christ has made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Jesus is my all in all, all I need, all I need. While He keeps, I cannot fall. He is all I need. He redeemed me when He died. All I need, all I need. I with Him was crucified. He is all I need. To my Savior will I cleave. All I need, all I need. He will not His servant leave. He is all I need. David understood that no matter what he faced, or no matter what kind of disappointments came in his life, that God was enough for him. David had this discovery and gave a description in Psalm 23. What did he say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is there to guide me. He is there to lead me beside the still waters. He's there to restore my soul. He's able to take care of me, to revive. David's basically saying, I have no need of anything else, no need of my own desires, no need of my own wants, no need of what I think is best. I have need of my shepherd, and because of him, there's nothing else I need. You think about a sheep, and thinking of a sheep, it's not an extremely smart animal. They have no need of anything. They just stand and eat and walk around a little bit and hit each other occasionally, but they go where they're led. They go where the dog may push them, or the shepherd may send them. They go where they are led to, and the things are provided for them. And we can approach our relationship with God in the exact same way. God is always enough. But so many times we try to take things into our own hands and try to do things our own way instead of looking to the shepherd who, in the relationship with him, we should have need of nothing because of him. What did Paul say in the book of Philippians? But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Can we again take ourselves back to where David was at this time? In the wilderness with his family. Hurting. Alone. He's sad for the state his son had gotten to. Not much provisions there. Not much of a plan. But he knew without God, he wouldn't make it. You know, we are never enough to, on our own, do what it is God has for us, or to get through the things He's allowed for us in our life. But God is always enough. David knew that, so he sought Him. How did David seek the Lord? There's two things and we're done. In our relationship with God, as we're seeking Him, the first thing we need to do is be dedicated. Be dedicated. Look there at verse 1. It says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. David had a long journey. David emotionally, physically, was no doubt tired. He hadn't slept in his bed. He's out in the wilderness. And the very first thing he wanted to do was seek God. You know, there was a desire in David, in his heart, to get to God as soon as he can, as soon as possible, he wanted to seek God. Your complacency doesn't accomplish anything in your life and in your spiritual life. We need to place God in every part of our life. And we know that at this moment of David's life, that God and his relationship with God was part of every second of his life, in the trials and out of the trials. God was at the center of his life. And David, as he went on in the psalm, was just talking about the importance of God to him. He says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. In verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands. He goes on in verse 5 at the end, it says, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And David, in this moment of his life, going through these hard times, going through these difficulties, was dedicated enough not just to seek God early, but to praise his God. David in these trials, David in these troubles, in his flesh, maybe feeling a need to take things into his own hands and to find a better spot for his family. All these things, instead of taking things in his own hand, was dedicated enough to praise God. Was dedicated enough to seek God at the first chance that he had. How dedicated are we to praise? It's a vital part of your walk with God. In a relationship, if you never tell the other person that you appreciate them, that you love them, that you're thankful for them, you're missing out on part of that relationship. It's probably not going to be what you desire for it to be. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 4 that we were created for his pleasure. We have hundreds of reminders in the Word of God on how we are to worship. We've seen just this morning in 4 chapters, we see worship after worship after worship after worship. As God provided, as God answered, they worshiped. How often are we truly praising and worshiping God? When we're in church and we're singing the hymns, and when we're singing a special, when we're thinking of opportunities to testify, how often are we truly praising God, or are we just going through the motions? If you want your relationship to be where it needs to be with God, if you want to be close to God, we need to be dedicated in our seeking and in our praise. It's our duty. The last thing tonight, verse 8. It's my favorite part. We need to keep a passion for God. He says, my soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. If you look at that phrase, followeth hard, it comes from the same word that we find the word cleave come from in the verse that says, man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. An earnest desire to cleave, to hold onto that person. So we should cleave unto God as we would cleave unto that person in this world that we love with all our heart. Brother Rusty last Sunday night preached there in the story of Jacob and how he wrestled there and at that moment and how he wasn't going to let go until he received that blessing. He was holding on with all of his might. That's the exact same thing David was talking about here that we should do in our life. How important is your relationship with God to you? I can tell you from my own life, many times it's not been as important as it should be. I can think of so many times I've given up when I've known my life isn't where it needed to be with God, and when I should have just held on, followed after. You know, there's a time in every relationship and in every marriage where you sense that things aren't exactly where you want them to be. Times where you feel like you might be in a rut or there's a disconnect in communication with your spouse. And we know that a marriage can't be based on feelings. And in those moments, there's actions that must be made to keep a relationship strong. So in those moments, what do? You schedule a date. You sit and you talk and spend time with each other. You're clear, you're scheduled, and put other things aside so you can focus on each other and on your relationship. You should have a desire to follow hard, to cleave unto your spouse. David was determined to stay close to God. How determined are we? I want to ask you tonight, are you close to God, or is he just an acquaintance? And if he is, I want to encourage you, be dedicated and follow hard after. And hold on. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for who you are. God, what you've done for us. What the privilege it is to be your child. The privilege it is, God, that we can have a relationship with you. But I thank you that you're my God. But I don't deserve the relationship. None of us deserve the relationship. But God, you are there. And in that relationship, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. We ask all this in your name.